This is Noah Schechter, writer of episode 919, The Bear Mask. You're listening to The Blacklist Exposed on Golden Spiral Media.
Rom's world is not so wonderful this week, Louis Armstrong. Welcome back to the award-winning The Blacklist Exposed podcast. Greetings, one and all. I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs.
And I'm Agent Aaron Peterson, and I've solved the ROMS issues, by the way. Just get back to the bare necessities. Huh? If you didn't like that joke, it's Troy's fault. He freaking wrote it. All right, thanks for... Usually it's mine. I let him have one. Thanks for joining us yet again for The Blacklist, The Bear Mask, written by Noah Schechter and directed by Matthew McLuda. Show notes and I'm going to tell for this episode of The Blacklist Exposed can be found at theblacklistexposed.com. Once again, shout out for Rory for filling in for me last week. Greatly appreciate it. You're gonna hear him again before the season's over. So if you're a Rory fan, if you're a Rory nut, a Rory head, as it were, he's still coming back. Get excited.
And how great was his liner last week?
Rory. Well, okay, I said it more like it was sexy. I loved it. I laughed out loud. So
what since you weren't here last week, what were your thoughts on the lion episode?
The episode that I wasn't here for?
Yeah.
I thought Weecha was in on it. Still not convinced she's not. And never thought it was Kaplan. Don't get me wrong. The first episode that ended with Kaplan, I mean, then I'm like, wait, what? But after that, that episode, no. I was 100% certain it definitely wasn't Kaplan.
Yeah. Well, what did you think of the lion?
The lion was... Very Walking Dead. Walking Dead did it first, but it was still kind of cool to have a lion. I feel like it was a missed opportunity because it didn't really do anything, right? It was just there to intimidate. It was Teddy.
Right. Would have been better if they could have CGI'd somehow him taking out a guard or something.
No, it should have shown the after effects of the lion being there. You know what I mean? Have a body just totally maimed.
Fair statement. Fair statement.
But then you might ruin zoos forever. Nobody wants that.
Well, if you're new to the show, welcome back. We are here to basically break down Aram's brain this week, but we have to get to our profound question from last week first. And then, of course, at the end of the episode, we'll get into thoughts from you and Special Agent Intel. And there was the big explosion last week, Aaron. The whole place went boom, including Weecha. So do we think the audience thinks that she made it out alive before we see this week's episode?
85% of you said yes, Weecha is alive. 85% of you are dead on. 15% of you are... Have you ever seen TV shows? I'm just saying.
More importantly, how many of the 85% of them saw a picture for this week's episode, which had Weecha laying in a hospital bed?
I did not. No.
I'm like...
But it's TV 101, man. If you see this... That's why when people were saying back last week, oh no, Weecha died. I'm like, no, Weecha is not dead. Because you didn't see a shot of Weecha right before she walked in the door or anything like that. Like that is a TV 101. You saw everything from Red's perspective, which means you can't believe anything from the other perspective.
Correct. But yeah, if you had seen the image of her laying in a hospital bed, would you have been mad? Would you have been like, what? Like, because we've talked about the promo department in the past in the show. It's like, would you rather gone into this episode blind, or would you rather they promote the fact that Weecha was alive and be interested in seeing how this episode would play out because of that?
Well, here's the thing, and don't get me wrong, I'm glad we have fans and people listen. I think it's great. But oftentimes they will tag me or send me stuff because they're excited about it and they want to know what I think about it, and I appreciate that. On the same token, it ruins it for me because I don't like any spoilers. So that would have pissed me off. Yes, if I saw it. I didn't see that. The Samar thing, I heard about it, I got tagged, so that was spoiled, and there's something else coming up that I was tagged on, and I was like, man, I don't want to know about it. I just don't. I know you mean well, but I don't want to know. Believe it or not, some people don't live on the internet. I do a very, very good job of avoiding all spoilers. Exactly. Very rarely do I get spoiled.
Yeah, this episode was kind of like a bummer, because it's like, oh, I saw the picture of Weecha, I heard about Samar's return, and I'm just kind of like, man, like, I just wanted to enjoy it as it played out.
Mm-hmm. That moment was robbed for me, and I'm really, really kind of irritated about that, because I would have been so excited to have that be a surprise. But because I knew it was coming, zero surprise. Still, it played out completely different. I mean, I knew it was going to be a hallucination just because of the vibe. As soon as you understand what kind of episode it's going to be, I'm like, oh, okay, I get how Samara's coming back. Yeah. But in the same token, it wasn't as predominant as I thought it would be. I didn't really think Samara played as huge a role in the episode as I was expecting, I guess.
And maybe that's due to the fact that they already had Kaplan play that similar consciousness for Liz, that it was too close to have Samar be more of the guide to walk him through his problems, because that's how I thought she was going to be, would be that guide.
Yeah, it's more like here's how you put the pieces of your own mind back together.
Yeah,
I get it. And she was a piece of that puzzle, and also a little bit of the consciousness, right? Because she does reference some things that he, you know, hey, you're just not dealing with this, you're not dealing with that. It was interesting.
We also had Somo, who said, of course she has to survive. Maybe the entire explosion was an illusion. You never know with the show. Do you remember what Red said? And considering the issue of psychedelics has been brought up in the past, it's not a surprise that Red and Cooper were having visions.
There you go.
It's a very possible explanation coming out of last week's episode. But also, kudos to you, Soma, for predicting psychedelics being in the cards for this week.
Well, they did talk about it. I mean, yeah, man. A lot different than licking paper in the old days, huh?
Yeah, for sure.
So our profiling question of the week, where are you now on Marvin being the big bad? We're just throwing it out there. We've been saying it for a few weeks, that we think Marvin's this big bad. So it seems like it's, or at least that's the theory. And we're etching a little bit closer to reality, I think. Where are you now on Marvin being the big bad?
Especially given the fact that the account was Red's. So clearly it's been an inside job this whole time.
And I'm still not convinced Mirsa and Weecha aren't involved.
Since they just showed up out of nowhere at a monastery.
Yes. Yes. So those are my two options. Marvin and Mirsa and Weecha.
Or all three.
Yeah. Yeah. Marvin's the one I've been leaning toward for a while. So maybe, you know, and honestly, I'll be a little disappointed if it's Mirsa and Weecha on their own, because we didn't even know about them until this year. So that's not really that exciting.
Yeah, but maybe that's why they came to Red in his grief, and because Red is blind to Liz, you know, he's also blind to love. So he fell in love with Mirsa, and it's actually Mirsa solo.
Could be, unless you got to have some connection into Red's past, though. Right. Well,
she spent 2 years with him in a monastery. You learn a lot about a person in 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, you got to have a connection before that.
Just like Katarina learned a lot about Red in 2 years.
That happens when it's in your own head. So I think Mirsa and Weecha could have taken him out at any time. So obviously the goal wouldn't be to kill him. It would be more to just ruin him.
Why not kill him slowly? It's even better.
But they brought him back from that place. So why? Yeah, I don't know. There's some story there, but I do think Marvin's the guy. I think it anyway. But I've been wrong before.
We have been wrong before. All right. Yep. Well, before we loop back to the beginning of this podcast, let's go ahead and get into this week's case profile.
All right. We open with Aram talking to Cooper. He'll be in by 2. By the way, his apartment is a mess. Like, this is not the Aram we know. Would you agree? His mental state is a little frazzled at the moment.
At first, I thought, did we not just see this episode? And I was worried that NBC aired the wrong episode, because it started very similar to the one where Aram gets kidnapped in his apartment.
Oh, yeah.
I was kind of like, am I watching the right episode this week? I had to check the TV guide.
And they even have a TV guide?
Online, not an actual.
Okay. I was like, they still make that in paper? Are you one of the four people that still get that?
Save the trees.
Who's in the cover? Like David Hasselhoff? All right. Well, he's been dealing with anxiety and OCD his entire life, he mentions. He's been struggling. I like this addition to it. I'm a long time mental health advocate since I was a kid. My mother was in mental health for 35 years, and my daughter has a degree in psychology. It's big in my family. So anytime you have some show that actually addresses mental health, even a show like The Blacklist that's doing it in their own way but still trying to address it, it's really important to me, because it's important that people normalize mental health struggles. And I'm glad that the show was doing that and showing that his anxiety is normal. And it's just something that he has to deal with, whether preferably not with psychedelics, preferably with therapy or internal, you know, dialogue or whatever. But it was nice that this show actually addressed that. I was a happy camper that was a story point.
Yeah. And as someone that goes to therapy on a regular basis, because everybody should go see a therapist, like, I appreciate any mental health discussion, because there's a lot of things in the world that you have to deal with around neurodivergency, anxiety, depression, and God help you if you have anxiety and depression at the same time, because that is just two battles that fight each other, and that's not a fun place to be.
Oh, and I've been an AFSP committee member for years, so check into that organization if you like to donate and help your community. It's a good organization. AFSP, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. Anyway, he's been struggling. He's barely holding it together. Psychedelic therapy. Experimental, but legal. We have an option here that he can do. And so he decides to go in, I guess, thanks to Red and Cooper, right? Pushing him along.
Well, especially then, Red, because did you notice the lady that was administering the drugs said that any friend of Mr. Homan's is a friend of mine. So this is actually a Red contact.
Yeah, it's a Red contact. Yeah.
I thought that was interesting that Ron would go there.
Didn't that scare you a little bit? Since he's felt about Aram since he took over. I mean, he's kind of not trusted him and whatnot. I was a little concerned for his well-being.
And I was trying to figure, did Aram reach out to Red to get the thing? Or is this somebody that they already, like, you know, they've worked with Red for 9 years or 11 years, depending on time jumps or whatever. Is this someone that's like on the Rolodex in Cooper's office of contacts of Mr. Homan's that you could reach out to? Or did he have to ask Red for the thing in the first place?
I think Red and Cooper put this together for him because he was struggling. Yeah, that's maybe. The way I could be wrong. I mean, everybody can be wrong. That's the beauty of real mental health, is being able to acknowledge when you've made a mistake and then self-correct it, address it, acknowledge it, move on. See, I'm saving lives right now. Okay, so a great joke in the episode. What fish? That's Frank. I like that. That was a fun little nod, letting him know, letting us know, we're about to enter the trippy zone.
Yeah,
it's about to happen. I love the waka 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 psychedelic music that was going on in the background. That was a nice touch. There's a lot of laughter at that opening scene for me anyway.
Now I'm wanting to see a TV show called The Trippy Zone.
The Trippy Zone sounds fun, man.
It's the Twilight Zone, but in pastels and tie dye.
And a lot of waka 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 waka. Got to have a lot of that music because it just makes you think, yeah, man, I'm tripping. All right. Aram begins back at work with a smile and a box of paper airplanes. Now the task force immediately becomes infiltrated by armed terrorists with bear masks. Oh, Aram, can you hear me? If you want it to stop, you have to get everyone out. That's what Red says. If you want it to stop, you have to get everyone out. And then he becomes kind of obsessed in these. We find out, obviously, these are trip outs. What do you call them? Trip outs, psychedelic trip outs. I don't do drugs. I don't know what this is called. If you're tripping, other than tripping. Is there another word?
I don't think so. That's what I would call it.
Okay.
Hallucinations would be dealing with your shit. That's another way to put it.
Yeah. Dealing with his shit. I think that's a more technical term. So he starts dealing with this shit. And he's coming back to the realization that in his mind, if he wants this to stop, he has to get everyone out. And it's obviously, it happens 3-4 times, whatever the number is. But it keeps happening where there's an assault. The first time, Park is shot and dies. And then Aram, once again, we find out, is tripping balls. And the whole time, he's under for these sections. So after the first one, I kind of knew it I knew it was a hallucination. I assume you knew this.
Yeah, when I saw the bear masks, I was like, okay, that's random. This isn't real.
He's psychedelics. The bear mask is because of the bear that attacked the van, that attacked Aram. So that's why it's in the back of his mind, that the bear is always there. Rawr.
I assume the paper airplanes then were also like the plane that Samar leaves on. Well, that's the only thing I could think of for the airplanes. I was like, why is the airplanes here? That makes no sense.
That makes sense now. Look at that.
Because the second time around, it becomes avocados.
No, well, it was avocados with a ring inside.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a connection. There's definitely a connection. So He finds the ring in the next one, in that box, the avocados. And from there, he knows where to go. Let's go to a stairwell. And that gets all the agents killed. Like, everything he does gets everyone killed. And then, you know, he finally gets shot. And he's shot by the man in the bear mask. And that man is, dun, 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 a Rom.
Better.
It's his self.
The badder. The evil. The awesome.
Yeah, the much slicker a Rom.
Is that the id or is that the ego? I don't know. I always get those two confused.
It's the guy he wants to be. It's the guy he thinks he needs to be in order to win, and he doesn't know how to do it, right? That's what that is. And that's the guy that's just, it's basic. Well, the impression I got is he's the internal monologue, the internal struggles with himself, how he can't face the truth. He's too weak to trust himself. That's all his voice in his head just condemning him. It's the one we all have. There's a great movie called Violet, if you really like stuff like this, where she's constantly being attacked by the voice in her head in a way, and she has to address it. It's a constant internal dialogue. That, to me, is what this represents, is that's his internal dialogue. It's that nagging voice in the head telling him all the things he's doing wrong that he can't do right and causing his anxiety. You agree? Disagree?
No, that's 90% of anxiety as someone who functions with high functioning anxiety. Like, that's like, absolutely. You sit there and you make up the stories. We call it future casting. So here's all the things that could potentially happen, but yet none of them have happened. So you have to tell yourself, self, stop future casting. Stop thinking about all the things that could happen and just focus on what's happening right now. And that's a hard dialogue to have sometimes when you're going through that.
It is. And I have a similar thing. My brain doesn't stop. I mean, it's very frustrating, and every scenario is kind of calculated, and it's very frustrating, frustrating, causes anxiety. You have to deal with it. And it's, like I said, it's very nice to see it represented. I really, really thought Amir's performance was very strong in this episode. They gave him some opportunities to shine and play against type, or at least against a Rom's type several times, which was nice for him, I'm sure. And he did a great job.
So, and I think it was kind of fun to watch him, like, when he's going through the loops and trying to figure stuff out. He's like, goes between like early season one around where he's like super freaked out after he gets shot and he's kind of facing his own fears. Mm-hmm. And then also the modern day around where he's trying to solve the problem and figure out what the next steps are. But then to see that kind of like, you know, arrogant side of Aram was like actually really interesting, because I don't think we've ever seen that arrogant side of Aram in the show.
Because I don't know if I'd call it the arrogant side of Aram. I still think it's more of just that nagging voice, the one that is constantly negative and the polar opposite. It's that nagging voice telling you you're doing everything wrong. And that voice is always a little more confident, a little more arrogant, a little more decisive. You know, it's the person you think you should be, but you don't want to be. He doesn't want to be that guy. He's not that guy. That's just in his head. He feels like he's supposed to be, in order to win, he has to be like that.
Right.
That's kind of how
it's pure self-confidence portion of yourself.
Sure.
But you have to balance your pure self-confidence out with emotional side of yourself, because if you were just self-confident all the time, you would be arrogant.
And your self-doubt. It's your self-doubt.
Yeah.
You know, and manifested.
The interesting thing of all this, though, is that the bear mask, the planes, the ring, like all of that stuff would have been cool had the Samar thing not been spoiled. Because the minute that thing was spoiled, it was just like, oh, bear mask is the bear in the van. Oh, the planes is, you know, it's like you just literally started putting things together about Samar the entire time, rather than just enjoying the episode. So, yeah, it was kind of a, that sucks. The episode was good. I'm not saying this, the episode sucked. I'm saying the experience of the episode was stolen from us because of the spoiler.
Yeah, it's man, if you find out a spoiler, I'm a big fan. Keep it to yourself. Or talk to people you know love. Or do you like spoilers? Yeah, love them. Oh, well, here's what I heard. Not bam, internet. Or bam, Aaron. Bam, Troy.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? All right, so you'll always be a day late and a dollar short. If you weren't, she'd still be alive. Cue the Liz death scene. And the only time this whole season I've understood why we needed to see it again. Yep. That actually fit for once.
Well, you needed to see it for the wrestler going through his mental trauma.
Sure. Sure. Yep. Got to have it for everybody, man. Everybody. And, you know, everybody's kind of had their own episode this season, right?
Yeah, and we said Aram hadn't had one yet. Yep. So, yeah, this was, it was time. It was time.
It was a good one. It was good for him. It was Amir really shine. So you were too scared to stop her from leaving and getting killed. And then there's Samar. Wajahn returns. Spoiler alert. It's an anxiety of leading that is pushing him into believing he's not worthy. And he struggles with how he failed Samar and Liz and Agnes. In his mind, he's that, you know, again, that nagging voice in his head telling him he's weak. He's weak. But he's not. You know, and as Samar tells him, it's really himself, people. It's not really Samar. But as the voice in his head that is Samar tells him, you've always been enough. It's just about time that you see that. Now that you did see Mojan return as Samar, which is Aram's love interest, if you never knew that from previous seasons, because maybe some people are, you know, newer to the show, I don't know. What did you think about bringing Samar back? Are you kind of surprised? Do you feel like it wasn't a meaty enough role? Do you feel like it was just right? Where you land on Samar's return?
I was shocked. I couldn't believe she was here. I was super excited. Oh, she's back. This is great.
And
sorry,
then you realize
that was my sarcastic side coming out.
Yeah.
I think when it got spoiled, I think that everybody was kind of, oh, it's going to be a flashback. Oh, it's going to be a dream. Oh, it's going to be like a memory lane trip or something. So I think that the way it happened was great. You know, she's obviously doing other stuff. So trying to fit her into the show and her schedule and everything is probably tough. So they really only probably had her for one day of shooting. So I think the way they did this, I thought was great. I thought, you know, just having them have that tender moment and the conversation was great. You know, I was like, oh my gosh, are they going to kiss? Like, should they kiss? And then I was like, wait, no, don't kiss. You're kissing yourself.
Yeah, that would
have been weird.
Weird.
So I'm glad they did not kiss. I think that was a good choice. And I love the shot at the end where it was him and more confident Aram and then the more loving Aram played by Mojan, Samar, that were sitting at the table. So you got all three personalities, and the two halves make the whole in the middle. I like that closing shot at the end.
Yeah, I like that. He's basically having a nice little fantasy of all of himself. That's an odd one.
I mean, it's a great way to bring back a character that everybody loves, because if you bring him back in the real, you know, like we were all worried that was
they have to do something.
It's going to have to be another episode, another story, and it's got to unless it's self-contained and they get killed at the end of the episode and then everybody's like, well, then you can never bring her back. So
yeah,
this is a great way to keep them involved in the show.
And it reminds you, there's a possibility at the very end of the series, if there ever is one, that you can hope for happiness for Aram.
Right.
That maybe he'll be with his lady love.
Maybe.
You never know. Even though now I don't know if he can afford the trip because he squandered all that money that he could have made.
Just because he didn't slap Nick in the face.
Sometimes you gotta just smack Nick in the face, I guess. I don't know. Don't do that. Don't do that. All right. So that's where we come to the end, and Aram comes to believe the stress of running things is what broke him a bit. But Cooper has his back, and they all will, which we've had this conversation already. I mean, I think in every episode since Aram took over that you're good enough, you can do it. But of course, this is addressing the anxiety that he didn't believe it. So now we close out with Aram at peace. And I think that's kind of what it's representing in terms of that whole table moment where you've got Aram and Samar and Bear Mask Aram hanging out. That's like, I'm at peace now. I can coexist with all of this.
And they were sitting in the office downstairs when they were having that conversation, right? They weren't in Cooper's office for that conversation.
I thought so, but it's not a Cooper's office anymore. It's Aram's office. And by the way, yeah, they drink a lot at work. I'm just saying, I don't know if that's really appropriate.
Well, Cooper does.
They're always having, Aram's having a drink, Red's having a drink, everybody's having a drink during the daylight hours. I get fired if I open my bottle during work time. The hell, no rules at all at this post office.
Yeah, because I was wondering about that final shot, if they were in Cooper's office or not, because I thought it was weird that Cooper was sitting in Aram's chair. As Aram being the leader, it would have been Aram's office. But I think the camera shot was actually the key, because we've never seen Cooper's office shot through a window into the office. So I think that was the office downstairs. And that was how they were establishing that, was that they were actually He was probably sitting in Liz's chair downstairs, actually.
Got it.
With Wrestler.
Well, there was a little note at the end, and it said in memory of Kurt Perez, who was a technician on the Blacklist, who sadly passed away. So that was very nice of them to give him a mention.
For sure.
In terms of the episode, though, I got to say, I mean, it was primarily an Aram episode. Primarily, it was Amir Arison at work. And I think he did a great job. And it was good that he got his showcase episode. And also that they really tried to play with some aspects of mental health in a respectful way. I always appreciate that.
Yeah, and it shows Amir's range as well. I mean, we would be remiss if we didn't mention that he also just recently got the lead on Broadway in The Kite Runner.
Yeah. So
if you're in New York or going to New York.
There you go. That's not for Dead Tom. That's for Amir. That's
yeah. So definitely go check out Kite Runner on Broadway if you can to see Amir do amazing things, because he was great in this episode. Really good.
Well, if he gets his tickets, I'll consider it. But
if you're listening, buddy,
send me some tickets.
Call Aaron.
Yeah. That's very cool for him. Congratulations. Sincerely. That's awesome.
Totally.
That's awesome. We haven't had him on here in a while. We got to have Amir back on.
Yeah, why not? Soon.
Yeah, we definitely do. We'll see if we can make that happen. Before he ends up, you know, getting framed for a murder or something else more dire, because that's what happens when you're in charge of this thing.
Or shot by a bear.
Wouldn't that be amazing if there's an actual, they could have trained a bear? Because they had a lion. Why not just have a bear come in? That could have been awesome.
No. Because remember how awesome the bear was the last time?
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's a little too great outdoors, huh? All right. Let's move on. We've got a few character moments. Not many, but definitely some stuff with Red. So let's move on to that.
Absolutely. But first, we had some pretty good music this week. Finally back in the Blacklist. As Aram is going through trip number one, we do hear Louis Armstrong's What a Wonderful World. Comes up again a few times later on in the episode as well. But great the song. Second trip through the episode, I was like, they're going to use the Pixies? Oh my God, this is so good. Where's My Mind plays from the Pixies at the end of the second trip around through Aram's mental state. And of course, you can get all of that music on the playlist, both Apple and Spotify, over on our website, theblacklistexposed.com. Links to both playlists are over there for your enjoyment.
Now, let me ask you a question. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Since we kind of got through that most of that episode, you ever tripped, as they say? Now, it could be illegal or legal substances. We don't need to know that. Just you ever had like a trippy episode like this? Where you've not known exactly what was going on?
I have never in my life smoked anything or taken any kind of drugs. Alcohol is the only thing I have consumed of an illegal substance.
Oh yeah, I've been drunk, but I'm not sure where I am.
However, however.
Ooh, there's a however.
I have had a trippy experience. Let me explain.
Fascinating.
There was a game that people used to play and probably still do today. And if you ever have played this game or are currently playing this game, you need to not play this game because it is not cool. But it's called the knockout game, where you basically have someone, you stand up against a wall and they have your hands and they push against your carotid arteries so that you pass out.
What?
You basically cut off the circulation and you basically knock them out.
And this isn't a fun game.
This is not a fun game.
This is a military trial exercise.
Yes, exactly.
I was in the military. I'm telling you, they train stuff like that. That's weird.
So when I did this, even though I really didn't want to do it, but I was like, everybody else is doing it, so you got to do it, right? Because you're a kid and you're a teenager and you're stupid. When I went out and I was down, I was out for a bit, and then like I started to come to, and when I came to, I was being chased by flaming demons running through a giant red landscape of trees, and the trees were like fingernails, and the fingernails were like ripping apart my body. So I felt like I was bleeding and just bleeding out and bleeding out and bleeding out until I finally bled out and woke up.
I'm going to Keanu Reeves here in a second and go, whoa, that is trippy.
What was happening was I was actually out for a total of 5 minutes, and everybody was getting worried that I wasn't coming back. And so like four guys that I was working with at the time that we were doing this overnight, they were literally slapping me in the face and on my body. So the mm-hmm. trees that were scratching me were actually the hands hitting me and slapping me to get me to wake up.
Why don't they just throw some water on you?
I don't know.
I don't know what the hell they're doing. Jeez. Well, good. I'm glad you're okay.
Yeah.
And I hope you never played this stupid game again.
No. And actually, anytime I see somebody like being choked or getting choked or anything like that, I faint and almost pass out.
So it's like a triggering event.
It's now. A triggering event now. Yeah.
Wow. That's so. Messed up. Well, good. I'm glad you're okay.
Yeah.
Glad you're okay.
Me too. Oof.
Who knew we were going to have the Troy Heinrichs version of Michael Hutchins' story here? Huh?
Now you know why I'm in therapy.
Yeah. Now you get it. Wow. I had one when I was a kid. As I said, I had, you know, I've been involved in mental health my whole life. Well, I also had to deal with my own stuff. I had ADHD, and I actually have real ADHD, not like everybody gets diagnosed with it nowadays just because they're hyper. Like, I actually have ADHD. And back when I was a kid, that was the very early stages of them understanding what it was, kind of. And so, you know, they were really trying to find drugs that could help and all that stuff. And you really, if you do enough mental research and mental exercises, you can actually, some people can condition themselves to deal with it and deal with it themselves, which is what I later learned to do, is to mentally handle it myself. But when I was younger, medication was the answer, right? A lot of times back then, medication was the answer, but a lot of it, they didn't know the right dosage and what would work and what wouldn't. And one of the ones they gave me, I was completely bonkers. It was a whole day where I had no idea what I was doing or where I was. It was a long ass day. It was insane. And needless to say, never took those again. And my mom's like, she's about to beat someone to death. Just, why did you recommend this? Why is it so strong? Why did we start out? Cause she's in the medical field. She's like, why did that dose start out so strong? You know, because she knew once she saw my reaction that this should have never been the dosage that was prescribed. It should have started a lot smaller. But yeah, so that's the only time I've ever tripped, because I, like you, I haven't done drugs. I'm not, nothing wrong with them, not against them or anything else, just not for me.
Maybe when we go camping this year, we'll do gummies or something together.
we'll try some stuff. I've tried edibles in the past. You know, it just doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah, it just kind of like takes the edge off.
Some people, yeah, for some people that stuff just doesn't work. And I think it has a lot to do with your anxiety level. Like, because I have ADHD and because my brain works so, it's always working so fast, all it really does is make me tired.
Right.
And I'll sleep better because I'm not thinking. Because when you have brains like Joy and I, if you wake up in the middle of the night, it's very, very hard usually to go back to sleep. Yeah. So that will help with that. That's about it. I sure don't want to take that just to sleep. So.
I mean, it's melatonin, yeah, just with a little CBD.
I've done melatonin. Melatonin, you know what I don't like about melatonin? And everybody's like, talk about the show! But too late. So
it's a mental health episode. Like, this is important stuff.
Yeah. What I don't like about
hard-hitting news at 11.
It kind of zones me out. It doesn't make me trip or anything like that, but it just, once you take it, I feel like for 10 hours, you're out of it.
Yeah.
And I don't mean like in a, ooh, yeah, man, not in a bears attacking me kind of way. More like a, I'm so exhausted, how am I going to pee way? And that's not good. I don't want to feel like I want to pee myself.
It's
that's
like the NyQuil hangover the next day.
Yes. There you go. Very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like that. And by the way, if anyone ever feels the need to reach out for therapy or to ask for therapy or help, don't ever be afraid to. Don't ever let anyone tell you should be embarrassed by it. It's very, very important. I recently just had one of the closest people in the world to me kind of reach out. And it's someone who just doesn't do this because he's just always struggled with asking for help kind of thing. And I know it was huge for him, but it was also very important because he finally realized I need help. I need to ask for help. It's always important. Don't be afraid to ask for help.
Even if you don't think you need help, it's like, it's good to just have someone to talk to that isn't your, you know, oh, it's going to be fine, honey. You know, you're just like, you need someone that's going to give it to you straight. Who's not close to you that can just look objectively at what's going on with you in order to help you get on that, you know, right. Shake things out, you know.
Figure out what's wrong. Figure out what is going on in your life that you need to address. And there's nothing wrong with having struggles. Everyone has them. I don't care how powerful or not powerful you are, everybody has some struggle that they have to do.
If you're not struggling, you're not growing. That's the thing.
Yeah. Oh, but, you know, but growing up, there were a lot of people that just, just crazy. No, not crazy. Trying to deal with stuff, you know, had stuff happen. Now you have to deal with it. It's just crazy. Just walk it off. That was always my favorite. Walk it off. What the hell?
Rub some dirt on it. Get back in the game.
Oh, my God. Glad Overom went and got some therapy.
Yeah.
All right, let's move into characters. So you already talked about music. So Cooper, you know, we got some DNA from the apartment. Says it's this Kaplan or 50% roughly. And Cooper isn't convinced. Well, I guess when Cooper got it back, it said that it was Kaplan, but he isn't convinced because Kaplan wouldn't do several things. And then we later come to find out that it was only 50%, which means genealogically it's a match, which is funny because that's something that's being done quite a bit to actually catch mass murderers now. You know that?
Hmm.
Have you heard about this? That's how they caught the Golden State Killer, is do genealogy matches, and they'll find people, they'll take DNA, and they'll match it to someone's family member that wanted to find out what their, you know, genetic makeup is, and they'll use that to connect to actual killers. It's happened multiple times. There's several times when that has happened. It just recently happened two little girls that were murdered, and they found the killers of those two girls. It was actually two different people. They thought they were connected for 20 years. Crazy. So you can do a lot of stuff with DNA. Sure hope that science holds up, though. Boy.
That's something like they make for a great movie treatment.
It would. The Golden State Killer, you should look into that. It's a horrible, horrible case. There were like 50 people. He killed like 50. Well, he killed like 22, I think. But there was also sexual assault and everything else. There was like 50 plus victims, maybe 60 victims, got away with it for 30 years, 35 years.
Wow.
DNA caught him. Crazy. Crazy story. You should look into it. It's pretty, you guys love crime. It's messed up. Yeah, it's messed up.
And then the twist at the end is that they actually put the brother in jail or something, and then the killer goes free. That'd be a great ending to the movie.
Yeah, but not in real life, because this SOB. No. This dude, literally a monster. What an awful, awful. And they caught him, and he's just an old guy hanging out at his house, man. He lived 35 years with what he did. Can you believe it? Anyway, no, I'm on another tangent. Anyway, so that's what Cooper did. And then Wrestler and Cooper find LaCroix's wife dead. So we'll come back to that, because really it comes down to what Red finds. So we'll come back to them.
And they never interrogated the guy that they found. Right? They had the guy, they arrested him, they put him in holding, and they were talking like in the other room, but they never actually interrogated him throughout the episode.
Yeah, and he looked like he was ready to do something, because look at him, he's all stoic, and he's like, I'm not going to talk, but you know he's going to talk. Well, talk! Come on. That's too bad. And it's really sad that LaCroix's wife died, too. It's like, well, is everybody cool in this family got to go? First we lost LaCroix, now we lost the wife.
Who gets the house? That's all I want to know.
Jesus. The kid that's going to die next week, probably.
Exactly.
Park didn't do a whole lot this, you know, this episode, except to have a fender bender and Rom's dream.
Spill coffee. Yep.
Spill the coffee a lot. Very clumsy. Weecho, we find out, apparently was injured in the fire quite bad. And it's 4 days later. Morgan didn't make it. And there's a very touching scene with Red. So let me ask you a question. So do you think, still at this point, that Weecho could be involved in any way? I still say yes.
I mean, it's hard. It's like super commitment, right? If you're going to actually take a blast and knock yourself out for 4 days. I mean, that's like dedication if Weecho's involved. Mm-hmm. I'm just more sad about Morgan being dead. Like, we won't see Morgan again. There's no more Chuck and Morgan. Get the van. Be like, Chuck.
You want to know my theory?
Where's Morgan?
My theory, Weecho is the one that killed Maureen and got caught in the blast.
Well,
because we didn't see Weech's point of view when it happened. I would not think Weecho was involved had we seen Weecho at the door or anything else. But because we only heard her on the comms, I think she's the one that took Maureen out.
Well, she was supposed to take Maureen out.
But not in this way. Like, it wasn't supposed to be an explosion. And so the explosion is what she got a little too close or didn't get clear of it in time. But she's still involved.
Well, the more important thing is that we know that Maureen wasn't behind it, because Maureen's now dead. So someone actually told Maureen that she should be at this place as well when they told Clara Moore to be at the place. So both Maureen and Clara were both set up to go to this location.
Mm-hmm. And I think Weech is involved. Because again, we never saw Weech's point of view. And to me, in TV, whenever you have a character in those circumstances and you don't see their point of view, even a little, even them going up the stairs, anything, they're involved. They're just not showing that point of view. That point of view will come later when it's the reveal. That's my gut. That's what my gut says.
All right.
We'll see. We will see.
I think it's Chuck's fault since Morgan was the one that died and Chuck was like, I hate it being Chuck and Morgan. I just want to be Chuck.
Could be. Could be. All right. And we finally arrive at Red. Red hunts down the body of Catherine Nemec, or who he thinks might be a Kaplan in the morgue. He needs DNA to compare to Kate's because that body is dead. And he needs to see if she's dead. Well, she's not. Because Vlad found a swab, 50% match, wasn't Kaplan. It was the sister, Maureen. So we know now that Kaplan isn't actually alive. And we know that it was Maureen. So we know Maureen most likely had to know someone to be brought into this. Would you not agree?
She knew Clara Moore. She probably had visits from some of Red's people over the years because she obviously knew who Raymond was when Raymond came to visit in West Virginia last week. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there definitely someone was like, hey, I can see if it is Marvin. You know, Marvin could be like, hey, Maureen.
He killed your sister.
Yeah.
Don't you want to get some revenge?
Or maybe Maureen wasn't in on it at all, and maybe Maureen was 100% ambivalent like she was apparently last week, and then Marvin called her up and said, hey, Maureen, you know, Red got you that gazebo. Red needs you to come see him at this location. And then she shows up at the location and on the phone, like, hey, no one's here. Like, when's my pizza getting delivered or whatever, when she's on the phone up in the window? Like, she could have been completely clueless.
Or Weecha does. Either one.
Yeah. Weecha could have called Maureen and said, hey, Red needs to see you. Come meet at this location.
And now we've got Mirsa back, but only to help Weecha.
Yeah.
Now, I'm just saying, I mean, Mirsa wanted Red to stop. Mysterious Caller wanted Cooper to force things to stop, right? Wanted to control the task force.
Yep.
Just saying. Might be a connection.
Could be.
We'll see, because I know that the last two episodes of the season are not named, but they are
complete.
Yeah, they're like two complete episodes. There's part one and part two. So I'm thinking probably next week we should know exactly who it is. Would you agree? We should know by like at the very end of next week's episode, I would think.
Yeah, maybe they'll tease it into the finale. Maybe they'll hold it for the big reveal at the end of part one, and then that's how they close up part two.
Could be. Be interesting how this runs down. Also, Mrs. LaCroix's assassin, this is the big one, was paid for from Red's account. So it's super close to Red. And who has access to Red's account?
Marvin.
But, and honestly, he's got reason. I mean, Red has kind of ruined his life in many ways. Yeah. Tortured him.
Teddy ruined his life. He disappeared for 2 years and the business went to the toilet. And Marvin has the one that had to like hold it all together.
And maybe he wanted it back. Maybe his goal was to take that business. And then he was mad that Red came back at all.
Yeah.
Could be. Right? Could be. Because for 2 years, that meant that Marvin had to be a little ruthless, wouldn't you think?
I would agree. And he would know how to do the entire operation after that 2 year period, because that's a lot of time to learn on the job.
Oh, yeah. All right, that's going to do it for this episode. We've got some special agent intel, so hang tight. But I want to take a quick second to say thank you to those of you that are supporting this show by going to Patreon. That's Patreon, patreon.com/theblacklistGSM. Special big thanks to our honorary blacklister, Patricia. Also, special shout out to our task force members, Marilyn, Cindy, James, Jens, Joanne, Johnny, Justin, Karen, Catherine, Sharon, and Lacey Ann and Vanessa, all official task force members. All these people receive cool gifts from us, and you can get a cool gift as well for donating at the $20 level or higher. If you want a cool t-shirt or coffee mug, you can do that. Plus, we're going to mention your name, and that's sexy. You don't have to stay at the $20 level forever, just a few months to get the cool gifts.
And if you're at the $5 level, which is totally cool as well, you'll get the episode before anybody else over at Patreon. That's patreon.com/theblacklistGSM. Get your own private RSS feed that you can put in your podcatcher so that you can get the episode before anybody else. Stay tuned. We got more great show coming up for you right after this.
What if you could live your life without limits, where every desire you ever imagined could be fulfilled? Experience Westworld, a show where every human's dark side will be revealed. After watching each episode, listen to Beyond Westworld, a podcast featuring humans and hosts from around the park, diving deep into HBO's illustrative narrative. Every hero has a code, and so do you. Download your itinerary and the show at beyondwestworldpodcast.com or your podcast app of choice.
Hey, this is Amir. I play Aram on The Blacklist, and you are listening to The Blacklist Exposed.
All right, Special Agent Intel, Kim Cavera.
Hi, fellas.
Good grief. This is referring to, I believe...
Last week's episode, yeah.
Last week's episode.
Or in general.
Or in general. Red shoots Mr. Kaplan and leaves her corpse in the woods for carrion crows, turkey vultures, and coyotes. Now when we find out after his noble speech on the bridge about peaceful coexistence, he left her for fish food and turtle bites. That's cold-blooded. We're going to believe no law enforcement agency, the team, not even Lizzie herself, followed up on her body's retrieval? Mr. Kaplan's sister didn't even care what happened to her? Everybody just let beloved Kaplan's petite, waterlogged, putrefied, and bloated body float down the river like a lost inner tube? Poor Kate. What a bunch of tools. Yeah, I think that's weird too, but we said that way back when it happened. Like, nobody's going to go fetch that body? We're just going to let it flow? All right.
Let it flow. Let it flow.
Good point, Kim. And I don't understand what the hell. That was weird.
I mean, they couldn't do it in order to bring her back. And so this was a great way to bring her back, I guess. But yet now.
Hey, you know what? And there's still the possibility that she could come back because the body's still out there. And now you killed her sister.
I mean, bloated and the size of an inner tube, but sure.
Comes back like a corpse. Rah,
zombie,
Walking Dead style.
I mean, Eyes and Drafts running the show. We did have zombie edition on Alias, just saying.
Hey, could happen. Wild, but could happen.
Daniel Clark wrote in, said, Kaplan could not know about the safe. How could LaCroix know about Townsend? And the cop had a key to the vault in his office. So either someone is framing the cop and the lawyer, too, or they're all in on it together.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's Marvin. It's got to be Marvin at this point.
Got to be. Maybe.
If it's not Marvin at this point, I will be shocked. And I will say, season 9, well done.
What if it's Aram? The whole time it's been Aram, and that's why his brain is frazzled, because he knows he's the one setting it all in motion.
I think it would have been a little bit more squirrely after 19 episodes.
A little bit. All right, well, that'll conclude this discussion. So now's the time to recommend The Blacklist to your friend, your enemy, your neighbor. And when you do, please also recommend they listen and subscribe to The Blacklist Exposed podcast. All the case files can be found at blacklistexposed.com and everywhere great podcasts can be found. We're coming up on the end of the season, so a lot of exciting stuff is coming up.
That's right. For more great Aaron and Troy hijinks, follow us on your social media outlets. I'm at Troy Heinrichs. He's at Aaron Smirks. And together we are at The Blacklist GSM. Oh my gosh. 3 to go. And Aaron's going to miss one of them.
I am. But you can always hear Troy and I on the Hollywood Outsider podcast as well.
That's right.
So, there you go.
Just did TV tropes.
We just did annoying TV tropes. And Troy has some weird ones.
I think our Johns are weirder than mine. But
yeah, they were very, very odd. Very odd. All right. Well, big thing. And we talked about Ozark's ending, too. So,
oh, yeah. If you're an Ozark fan, definitely check it out.
All right. Big thanks for listening. Don't forget to answer our profiling question. Where do we stand on Marvin Gerard's guilt rate about now? What are you thinking?
Definitely 85% or better.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's the guy. I think he's the guy. And I hope I'm wrong, but I think he's the guy.
Hey, he's the guy. You know, he's the guy.
He's the guy. You know what? Maybe it's Dembe. Wouldn't that be messed up?
That'd be totally messed up.
Dembe's got it under watch because he could have access to all that stuff.
He could.
Ooh. That actually would be kind of cool. Hang on.
I had a hideout in the FBI in order to make sure I wasn't discovered.
Oh, that's brilliant. Now I'm excited.
I would have gotten away for two, Aram, if it wasn't for you.
Your pesky anxiety. All right, everybody. Bear take mask. Care. Well, and your bear mask. And your weird sexual fetishes with bear masks. Yeah, take care, guys. We'll come back. I don't know where that came from. I'm out.
See ya. Until next time, I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs. That's at Troy Heinrichs on Twitter. And if you want to learn more about me, just visit, about.me/Troy Heinrichs.
And I'm Agent Aaron Peterson. You can hear me talking about movies and TV on the Hollywood Outsider podcast, as well as Remake This Movie Right. We are available at thehollywoodoutsider.com or on Twitter at 5popcorn. Be sure to subscribe, download the app, submit your feedback, but most importantly, keep yourself off of
the blacklist.
The Blacklist Exposed is a Golden Spiral Media production. Find more of our great podcasts at goldenspiralmedia.com/podcasts.